Welcome to episode 27 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, November 2nd. Excuse me, Wednesday, November 9th. And this is 2022. The show, of course, is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. It's where you can go to talk about the things that you can't talk about just about anywhere else. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts. The title of today's show is From Red Wave to Red Ripple. No, you didn't hear me wrong. From Red Wave to Red Ripple. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism of communicating the truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of just these concepts. I say these things every week, but these things need to be said every week. And no, as I say weekly, this isn't a pleasant way to introduce the show. But today's reality is blatant and not very pleasant in oh so many aspects. That's the reason for Eagle's Eye Report in the first place. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio, thanks to our friend Annie, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. So we picked up another carrier for the show, and that is EPGN Radio, and we appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you carrying our show. Let me talk real quick about donations. Again, it's not so much that people aren't donating, although it would always help to have more. Everybody knows that. But it's the strategy of donation. I've been going over this for the last couple of weeks, and I feel it pertinent enough to mention it every week. If you're the type of person who donates $25 or $30 and then doesn't donate anything for about 3 or 4 months, and then you donate 50 bucks, and then you don't do anything for 3 or 4 months, and then you donate another 50 bucks or whatever, if the total comes out to, let's say, $120 a year or close to that, are the platforms, all three of those platforms I just mentioned, are they appreciative? Yes, they are. And even Annie's platform, is she appreciative? You bet she is. But what would help them a lot is to give them something they can count on. If you're going to end up by donating $120 a year, when you add everything up, that's a great thing, but it would help these platforms a whole lot more if you could take that $120 and say, what's $120 divided by 12? Gee, that's $10 a month. And the next time you go in to do a donation, you put your $10 in and you check the box that says, make this a monthly reoccurring donation. Why does Roger keep saying that? It allows them to build a budget. It allows them to have an idea what's coming in each month. It's not a hit or miss. Oh, I feel good today. Let me give $50. Oh, I don't feel so good this two months down the road. Let me give them $30. What I'm saying is this gives them a steady and dependable income that they can use to fund increased presentation to you by offering things they couldn't offer before. And it's not necessarily they didn't have enough money, but they didn't know if they were going to have enough money. And sometimes they don't know until after the fact. So again, if you can, if you think of it, and I strongly recommend you do, the next time you go in to make a donation, find out what you average over the course of the year, divided by 12, put that number in and hit, make this a monthly donation. Believe me, we run TLVTalk.com. It is strictly run on donations. We understand this. We know exactly for what Roger speaks. Does that not make sense, Stephen? And how are you today?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm pretty good today.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. So obviously from the title, which I'll hit again, from Red Wave to Red Ripple, everybody probably has the idea that we're going to be talking about, the midterm elections. But before that, let's finish up this intro. Okay, our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths as well as to give you a platform which you can, excuse me, discuss these vital truths on without fear of censorship, exclusion. And that is, of course, our sponsor, TLBTalk.com, which is supported by generous donations. And if you could just check that, make this a monthly donation box, you would make us so happy. Everything we put out today, most of the time, what I do in a show is pulled from articles from people that I have a lot of respect for, people who write things that I know I can count on, people who write things that actually make sense, people who will actually do their research. And when I do a show, and I will always tell you, I'm going to take pieces from the following article. You know for a fact that on Thursday, there will be an article published on the LibertyBeacon.com stating exactly where I got the information and a link to that author's article. So you can read the article in totality. I never read an entire article. I take bits and pieces that have triggered me, that have tripped my wire. These are the things you hear from me, along with the things and the research I've done. You'll never hear an entire article, so do yourself a favor. If I felt it worth taking bits and pieces from, it's probably worth it for you to go in and read the entire article. Again, every single week on Thursday, you will find an article on the LibertyBeacon.com with this show embedded in it, as well as a link to all of the articles I referenced for it. So, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to get started on this because we've only got an hour, and everybody knows Roger has no problems talking for an hour. The problem with me is that, can I get it all done in an hour? The first article that I'm going to be taking bits and pieces from, maybe even a little bit more than that because it's very well written, is from Andrea Widberg, who I, and you've all heard me reference her articles before, I very much like the way this lady writes. And the title of her article is "The Red Wave That Wasn't, an Election Postmortem." Now, if you're familiar with a postmortem is, then you've got an idea as to what she's thinking. But let's go down through a few of the points that this lady made because they're all well worth listening to. And of course, I will blend them in with my diatribe. Well, I guess the best way to put it is that was disheartening. That was dispiriting. That was demoralizing. We went into the party with a president with some of the lowest approval ratings in history, and Americans, or at least according to the polls, focused like lasers on issues that could be chalked up to Democrat policy failures, namely inflation and crime. And yet Republicans are hanging on by a thread. It's still possible the Democrats will retain their majority in the House. Well, I'm not sure they will retain their majority in the House, but looking for a two-thirds majority is so far out of reach at this point, it's insane. So having a slim majority is better than a sharp stick in the eye, especially when it comes to having investigations and things like that, or taking over the chairmanship of committees, of key committees. Also, when the Republicans run a committee, they are much more apt to make what their findings are, and even the hearings themselves, public than the Democrats ever have been. Okay, so let's continue. In a way, the easiest answer in our election system is completely corrupt. That's the easiest answer in all of this, okay? We know that there's things going on right now all across the country. We ran out of ballots. I come in to vote. I show my ID. It says, they tell me, you've already voted. No, I haven't. These things will be going on for the next couple of weeks. Now, Biden jumped up. He jumped bad the other day in his last Sieg Heil speech and told the country, you got to remember, it may take weeks before we actually know who won this. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that the night of the election, the latest, first thing the following morning, it's all wrapped up and done, with maybe a very, very small percentage of ballots not being counted, but enough being counted that they wouldn't make a difference. Now we are told by the Democrats, who literally have shaped our voting system, our voting structure over the last 20 years, do not say it's Republicans. If you say it's Republicans, you are looking like an idiot. You've done no homework. The voting system has been shaped by the Democratic Party. And whereas when I was 30, 40, even 50 years old, I'm 68 now, but in my late 40s, I knew that by the early the next morning, or by 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, we knew who won. But now you have a president who stands up in front of the country and says, now don't forget, it may be weeks or at least days before we know who really won. All you do when you say that is tell everybody I'm setting the stage to manipulate the vote. End of story. Because any vote that comes in after a certain time is not supposed to be countable. It's not. And you're not supposed to have trucks pulling up the back of any of these facilities unloading boxes of ballots at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're not supposed to run out of ballots. You're supposed to have an excess of ballots. And I could go on and on. We are already seeing these complaints across the country. Okay. So, in a way, the easiest answer is that our election system is totally corrupt. That's not a joke. It becomes more and more apparent every time we have a national election. It's easy to blame the GOP for letting that happen. But Molly Hemingway reminds us that a corrupt judge and a 40-year-long consent decree meant that beginning in 1981, the RNC had been prohibited by law from helping with poll watcher efforts or nearly any voting-related legislation. So when Rogers says, do not blame the Republicans for what we have seen in the voting system over the last generation, he knows what he's talking about. Since 1981, the RNC has pretty much been told you can't have a part of this. You can't even do poll watching, or you can't influence poll watchers. That 40-year period gave the Democrats the ability to lay the groundwork for a fortress of election corruption. Then, thanks to COVID, the Democrats were able to build high walls around the fortress they had built, around the fortress walls built from mail-in ballots, drop boxes, 2,000 mules, ballot harvesting, driver's licenses for illegal aliens, no ID for actual elections, endless pre-election, and most importantly, machines that can be gamed. How can they be gamed? Because they are hooked to the internet. No, there's no cable running into the back. But how many of you today have a computer that is physically wired into your router? How many? How many have a cable running from your computer to your router? If you're in an office, you may. But if you've got a laptop and you're taking it all around your house, the last thing you want in order to get online is to have to plug it in, right? So if you're, I don't know, well aware of the fact that just about any computer out there can be hooked up to Wi-Fi. Why? Since voting machines are, in fact, computers, can't they be? And they are, when they are updated and other things go on, they literally are hooked via Wi-Fi to the main computer or to the server. But during an election, no voting machine by law can be hooked up to the internet. And everybody goes, well, what makes you think they were? I don't know. Does anybody remember Mike Lindell's video showing, literally showing, all of the voting machines across the United States in the 2020 election that were not only hooked up to the internet, but anybody who was accessing those voting machines via the internet, their IP addresses were there for the world to see. And you've heard me say this before. Those IP addresses originated in, oh, I don't know, the Ukraine. Oh, I don't know, Russia. Oh, I don't know, China. Oh, I don't know, Italy. And that is illegal. But to this day, have you seen anybody go to jail? Have you seen any of those elections put into a box whereby someone says, we need to do this over? And that was rampant across the entire country. So for anybody telling me right now, Roger, you're just blowing smoke, okay? It didn't happen. How do you know? How? Can you see a Wi-Fi connection? You may be able to see a cable connection, but you sure as the hell can't see a Wi-Fi connection. So when I say these machines, meaning Dominion, oh, there's the magic word, Dominion voting machines with the ability to be hooked into via the internet, via the mechanism of Wi-Fi, does exist everywhere. Did it happen? And who stood there to make sure it didn't? Who? But there's complaints coming from all over the country already. Okay? Andrea states in her state, for example, poll workers gave them sheets of paper that were fed into a voting machine. They entered their choices on the screen, and then when they were done, that piece of paper comes back to them with all their choices printed on it. When they then bring it to the paper to a scanner that instantly counts the votes. That sounds good, doesn't it? Everybody listening, that all sounds great. But here's the dirty little secret. The scanner doesn't read the printed words you put on that paper. Instead, it reads unintelligible barcodes that we can only hope accurately reflects what you and I put on that paper. I could game them easily. She's saying she could game them easily, and no one would be the wiser. Across America, voting machines are all vulnerable in one way or another to this kind of cheating. Whether it's via the barcodes, whether it's via the internet connections, whether it's via Wi-Fi, all of this is readily available to those who wish to cheat, and machines that are susceptible to this type of rigging. Now, I'm not telling you any of it happened. What I am telling you is that there's already a lot of unhappy people across the entire country saying, why did this happen? Why did you run out of ballots? Why did you tell me when I came in and showed you my ID to vote? Why did you tell me I had already voted? Not a joke. It's happening. And of course, as every tyrant knows, once you own the voting system, you will always win elections. This ends only when a corrupt totalitarian system collapses from its own weight. Take a look around you, people. Take a look around you today. Take a look at a system that is under so much stress right now. I've never seen anything like this. How about you, Steve? Except for the, I would say from 2016 on up, have we seen this at such a level that neither you and I have ever. Now, we've always heard about cheating, but has it been at this level?
Well, I think probably so, but I think it's just more notice because of the internet.
I absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that's what you were going to say. I did, which is why I asked you to come in.
Right.
The thing of it is, technology has always been around for a very long time. Technology has been around since the turn of the 20th century, since the very early 1900s. When I say technology, back then we were talking about radio. Okay, back then we were talking about mechanical calculators.
Newspapers.
Well, newspapers have been around for a very long time. I'm talking about actual technology, electronic involved technology. So what we have seen is that cheating started as technology became prevalent. And what everybody here needs to understand is we are always the last to get technology. Now, what is Roger saying and why is Roger saying that? You all have heard the story so many times, I won't bore you with the entire story again. Know that Roger spent his whole life in technology. Roger worked for the military industrial complex, fixing things that go bang all across the planet, or things that find things that go bang. You don't get much more high tech than that. And I know for a fact from the 30 years, 8 years in the military and 22 years working on their equipment globally, that the technology that is available to governments is not available to you for, in some cases, up to 20 years later. A lot of it may be 5, 6, average maybe 10 years, but there is some technology, and I have not worked for the government or done anything along that line since the year 2000, which is 22 years ago, and there is still some technology I am aware of that I don't see the general public having access to. So as the technology increased, who had it first? And what we started to see around the turn of the 20th century, especially when we get into the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, early 50s, when things like IBM all of a sudden appeared, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, all of a sudden we've got internet, basic internet, but we've got internet, the 90s, the 2000s, and a global explosion of technology. The entire planet is connected. That's a great thing. But as much as it can work for us, it can work against us. And again, what we are aware of, or what most of you are aware of, and I'm sure there's a lot of things after 22 years of being off that plateau, there are a lot of things I'm not aware of that have come up since I've been gone bye-bye. How do we know, how do we understand exactly how big the foothold is? We found out about the Dominion machines. We found out about the corrupt balloting. We found out about the corrupt vote counting, all in some cases by accident. It could be that to this very day, we would have no clue how bad the Dominion machines were and how corrupt they were against what you and I wished to have as our governance. Okay. So, also the real possibility that 60 years of nonstop leftist indoctrination in education, the news media, the entertainment media, and with accelerating force, the internet, has changed the American people. And that's not even a maybe. That's a fact. All you have to do is look at the election. Look at the election yesterday. Some of us still believe in individual liberty, but most of us don't. Some of us still believe in a sovereign border, but apparently most of us don't. Some of us still believe in anthropogenic climate. or climate change. And this is an ideal cooked up to advance socialist policies. That's exactly what it's there for, and it's working. But most of us don't believe in that. Some of us still believe that life begins at conception and is worth protecting, but obviously, looking back on yesterday, most of us don't. And of course, most of us definitely prefer the modern, opiates of the people, endlessly streaming media, pot, and government money to the risk and the rewards of liberty. Look at your children today. When we talk about the dumbing down of America, we're not talking about people Steve's age. We're not talking about people my age. If you're in your 30s out there, we're not talking about your parents. We're talking about you or your, if you're in your 40s, your children who are in their 20s or their late teens. Listen to how they talk. They don't live in a republic. They live in a democracy. What's the most important thing that could happen to them today? Pot could become legal across the entire country. Is the teacher always right? Yes, the teacher is right. If the teacher says you want to be a boy and you're a girl, or you want to be a girl if you're a boy, then you go home and tell your parents. And guess what? If your parents say no, you come back and tell us. We'll make sure it happens. We'll take it from there. When I was young, there isn't a teacher alive that would have even thought of doing anything like that. Steve, do you remember any teachers that would be willing to do something like that 30 or 40 years ago or 50 years ago?
No, not offhand.
But today they do.
Well, you know what I found out yesterday, though, Roger? Reading Dr. Tom Cowan's book, I found out that they're putting aluminum in marijuana, genetically modified marijuana.
Yeah, absolutely. GMO marijuana. And they don't really have to put it in marijuana, and they don't really have to put it in corn, and they really don't have to put it in just about anything that's grown in an open field. They don't have to put it there because they're already putting it there. What the hell is Roger talking about? This is something we haven't discussed in a very long time. How many of you are aware of geoengineering? How many of you look up at your sky every single day and see tic-tac-toe in your sky? If you think that that's natural, if you think that's the way clouds are formed, you're a freaking moron. That is sprayed up there. And if you think that's just normal jet travel, since when did jets play tic-tac-toe in the sky? And a jet trail disappears between 10 and 40 lengths of that jet. No more. So if you've got something that goes from horizon to horizon, and another one a few degrees off of that parallel to it, and another one a few degrees off parallel to it, and another one a few degrees off parallel to it, and then a bunch of them going exactly perpendicular to it, so that you've got a checkerboard, what do you think the biggest fallout from what they're spraying is? And if you don't know, let me tell you, because Steve just put it in my head. It's nano-sized particles of aluminum.
They're also putting glitter in there, too.
Oh, yeah. And they're putting other stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
But this is not a show on geoengineering, but you brought up putting aluminum in the cannabis. Any cannabis that is grown outside, any crop that is grown outside, you look up in your sky almost every day and see the spraying going on. There is aluminum in almost everything you eat. Take a look at your trees when that fall is here. They're supposed to be turning these bright, beautiful colors and eventually falling off the trees. Take a look at those leaves. Not only are they turning sometimes 2, 3, 4 weeks early, but they're not turning into these beautiful, vibrant colors. They're dying. They are rotting. They're turning a dark brown before they should, long before they should. Why? Because the roots are sucking up the aluminum. What does aluminum do to crops? The same thing it does to your brain.
Are you ready for the break, Roger?
Almost.
Okay.
What happens if you consume aluminum is nano-sized particles of aluminum destroy the brain synapses. That's what allows the electrical charge to go from one cell to the next. That's your thought process. Aluminum destroys it. Okay, let's go to a break. And when we're back, we'll start talking about the election again. And it's your fault, Steve.
I know it.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And I need to get away from this. And during the break, my friend and co-host Steve was chuckling because he knew that he had triggered me. As I stated, the aluminum is the most prevalent component of geoengineering. It is by far not the only one. And there is barium, there is strontium, there are other things in that spray. But again, the most prevalent portion of it, and it's actually been analyzed many times, is aluminum, which is very, very, very bad for the human body and the human brain. Since they started doing geoengineering, we have seen a massive increase in Alzheimer's and dementia, not only in America, but everywhere in the world they spray. So before I turn this into an entire show on geoengineering, which I intend on doing a show on geoengineering, as soon as the politics gets a little further away from us, then you will all see exactly why Roger has done so much research on this. All right. Now, again, we're talking about nonstop indoctrination. We're talking about the loss of thought of liberty. We're talking about several generations in America, and this is what I call, and a lot of people call, the dumbing down of America. It's not that people are getting stupid. It's that people aren't being taught what they need to know, or that what they are being taught is being reinforced at such a heavy level, whether it's good for them or not. Okay. And what we see are entire generations, and especially the newest generation of adults who are very prone to being on their phone. I mean, whether they're driving, whether they're walking, if they're talking to you, half the time their eyes are on their phone, half the time their eyes are on you. This is the way it is supposed to be. These are the absolute proofs that you need to understand the influence those who wish to influence us have on us. And it is a detriment to society. But can you convince that 18-year-old, that 22-year-old, that 25-year-old, that thing they're holding in their hand is a detriment to their life, is a detriment to their career, no, you can't and you won't, because it has been that successful. This is what their teachers are teaching them. This is what their college professors are teaching them. And now we know that the college professors and the teachers have more sway over our children than we do. And again, this is intentional. Okay. So with those changed beliefs, little things like raising inflation, open borders, rampant crime, and a concerted effort to destroy our children's self-identity and healthy bodies simply don't rank anywhere near where they used to rank. H.L. Menkel clinically and accurately wrote that democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. The really hard part is still to come. Look around you today. We just had an election whereby an entire nation is suffering due to inflation far beyond anything we have seen since Carter was in office. And it may even exceed that. You're being told it's 8.2, 8.3, 8.4%. Nothing could be further from the truth. Anybody with half a brain knows it's anywhere from 15 to 17%. The highest level of inflation that brought America to her knees in the worst economic period in U.S. history, the Great Depression, was only 22 to 23%. But yet, that wasn't enough to drive enough people to the red zone. This is what's happening. We are seeing more fentanyl deaths because of fentanyl coming across the border in young people than we have ever seen from any other drug. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of deaths on a monthly basis, if you're talking about Mexico and the United States. Well over 100,000. Again, it wasn't enough to drive enough people to the red side. You have a border that is open. Your job is becoming less secure because there's much cheaper labor coming up from the south. But again, that wasn't enough, and I could go on and on. We are sitting in one of the worst times in U.S. history. We have seen the intentional destruction of massive herds of cows, cattle. We have seen massive amounts of ducks and chickens and turkeys and just literally killed off and paid by the government to do so. We have seen massive amounts of crops plowed under intentionally so that they never went to market. And now all of a sudden we're experiencing food shortages. And to top it all off, we have seen the destruction of more food processing plants in the last 2 years than we have seen in the last 20 years combined. But that wasn't enough to drive enough people from the blue side to the red side. And would you like me to go on? We have been told over and over again that it is the Republican or the conservative justices on the Supreme Court that totally took the right women had away to have an abortion. Nothing could be further from the truth. They did not make abortion illegal. But yet you have been told that. What they in fact stated is this is not the purview of the federal government. This is the purview of the state governments. So we are taking a law that was passed that covered the entire country, which is illegal via the Constitution, and we're saying it is the state's purview, and we're giving it back to the states. So all that meant was if your state wanted to pass a law saying that it was legal or illegal, they had the right to do that. And how did they do that? By a majority vote in the state. In other words, the people making that decision, not a Supreme Court. So all of this was handed back to the people and via that mechanism to the power of the states. But yet the Democrats beat this up so bad, telling you that the Republicans were responsible for taking your right away. And all you've got to do, if you live in a state where a majority of the people decided they didn't want it, all you had to do was get in a bus or on a plane or on a train or on an automobile, go across the state line and have your abortion. But that's not what you were told. I will tell you one of the two biggest issues has turned out in this election from what we have seen from polling at the polls. One of the biggest issues did turn out to be abortion. And why did they not vote for the Republicans? Because the Republicans took their right to have an abortion away. No, they didn't. But you were lied to and told they did. And you believed them. Why? Because the mainstream media beat it into your head. Why? Because your local politicians beat it into your head. Why? Because the local liberals who make big bucks off of abortion beat it into your head. This is the dumbing down of America. The fact remains, the Democrats are more responsible for this than the Republicans are. But that's not what they would have you believe. How many of them said, look, what we're going to do is, if you want an abortion and you live in a red state that has made it illegal, we will pay for your transportation across state lines where you can have that abortion. We will pay for your transportation. They didn't do that, did they? What they told you was, you can't have an abortion now. You have to live with that. And whose fault is it? It's the Republicans. By transporting you across the state line, that negates any hard feelings you have because you start to understand why that mechanism is in place and how it got that way. By them just telling you that it was because of evil Republicans, how the hell were you going to vote? This is the dumbing down of America. Additionally, this election probably marks the end. Listen to me, people, because a lot of you aren't going to like this, but it's true. This probably marks the end of the Trump era. As Thomas Lifeson wrote, a large part of DeSantis' appeal to conservatives is that he didn't give in to COVID madness. Of course, blue state governors who killed their elderly and destroyed their economies also won re-election. The problem for Trump is that his voting base is the side that rewards liberty. Trump sadly paved the way for Fauci, Birx, and the rest to steal that liberty. He may not have been 100% on board, but Operation Warp Speed and bringing Fauci in front of the country time after time, even though you could see Trump standing on the side looking at Fauci like, are you serious? But this has registered with the people. The same goes true for the 2020 rioting and breakdown of civic order. DeSantis stood firm against BLM and voters rewarded him. Trump, trying not to be the dictator the Democrats claimed he was, gave the rioters free rein. He didn't endear himself to the left, but he sure as to hell angered the right. And these are things that people are remembering. Now, that happened several years ago. Trump has been around the country still drawing huge crowds. I'm not telling you that Trump doesn't have massive influence. What I am telling you is that there may be enough Republicans in this country that would prefer to see DeSantis in 2024 over Trump than you think. But I'm going to tell you something that may be in the works. And I have seen hints and I have seen glints. And that is a Trump-DeSantis ticket. Now, if you stop to consider, I doubt Trump would take it more than another 4 years. In which case, DeSantis would pop up there after having had 4 years in the White House to get used to it, to make connections, so on and so forth, and run another 8 years. What do you think of that, Steve?
I don't know. It's sickening.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's sickening.
But if you stop to consider, this may very well be what's in the cards, because Trump still has a massive influence. If I was the one, and this is Andrea saying this, not me, if I were the one advising Trump, I would say that he needs to move from candidate to kingmaker, which he's already been doing. How many people did he back during the midterms? But if he moved from candidate in 2024 to kingmaker for DeSantis, okay, although it's entirely unfair, he's not in the White House, his day is gone by her thinking. However, if he throws his weight behind DeSantis, their combined popularity may finally be enough to overcome the fortress of fraud that the Democrats have constructed around American elections. Again, anybody out there who thinks that Roger's telling you that the Republicans were perfect and because Republicans aren't in office, oh, woe is me, I'm not telling you that. I would never tell you that. What I would tell you is that there are a lot of Republicans that may in some ways be even worse than their counterparts, the Democrats. I'm not going to tell you all Democrats are totally evil. I'm not, because there are some decent, you know, liberty-loving Democrats. What I am telling you is that if something is so bad that in 2 years we have seen America fall further than she has ever fell in the entire history of this country, then anything, any change is going to be better. Stop and think about what Roger just said. What does he mean? 2 years ago, did we have an open border with 4 million coming across the border in less than 2 years? Unchecked. No, we didn't. 2 years ago, did we have inflation that is well over 10%, regardless of what they're telling you, and it's probably closer to 15%, that is literally destroying your life? No. 2 years ago, did we have teachers telling your children that if they want to change sex, go home and tell mommy and daddy, and if mommy and daddy say, you ain't going to do that, come back and tell us, and then we'll make it happen? No. 2 years ago, was the price of gas anywhere near it what it is today, and the spigot damn near shut off in this country? No. 2 years ago, would the president have stood up in front of the entire nation just before an election to tell them, I am going to sound the death bell for the coal industry? I am going to shut down all of the coal plants. I am going to shut down all of the coal mines. That is shutting the oil spigot off round two. We will see another massive spike in inflation. Did that happen 2 years ago? No. Would you like me to go on? Because I can. I could give you at least 20 or 30 more things that are having a massive impact on your life today that were not happening 2 years ago. Now, having said that, I don't think all Republicans walk on water. I don't. Having said that, what I am telling you is that the only way you can see a massive decline in the health and stability of the most powerful republic the planet has ever seen in a short 2 year period is if it is choreographed. It could not happen by mistake. In which case, if you change parties and they have already made promises. Anything is better than this, because two more years of the Democrats having total control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, there will not be an America left. Nothing we can recognize in 2024. Now, having said that, let me go back a little bit. I'm not telling you that there isn't going to be a majority, a red majority in the House of Representatives. There more than likely is. I would say it's going to happen. Is it going to be a large enough majority where they can override a presidential veto? Nope, that takes two-thirds. It's not going to happen. Okay, is there going to be a large enough majority in, say, the Senate where, I don't know, what would you need to override Schumer's filibuster? Again, two-thirds. What you are looking at here is, even if they had won both the House and the Senate, which I believe they're going to win the House, the Senate, I'm not so sure about anymore. Okay? But even if they would have won both, they would not have had enough votes to stop President Biden. They wouldn't. They could not override his vetoes. They could not. So if you stop to consider that, what can be accomplished? Because I do see a majority in the House of Representatives. It may be a slim majority. I believe they need 216 to have a clear majority. They may end up with like 205, 210, somewhere in there. So they will have enough of a majority that they can take over some of these committees, some of these investigatory committees, the ones that investigate why is the DOJ so weaponized? Why is the FBI working for the Democrats? Why did Mar-a-Lago happen when it never had to happen? Why is nobody, when it is the U.S. sovereignty that's at stake here, closing the border? Why is nobody doing public hearings on Hunter Biden's laptop, which the FBI has had for over 3 years? Why is nobody doing, I don't know, why is nobody doing hearings on a compromised president in the form of, this guy needs to be impeached? Can they get him impeached? Probably not. But what they can bring out would be so damning. It's insane. Is there proof that Biden is compromised by Russia? Yeah, there is. Is there proof that he is compromised by China? No doubt about it. Is there proof that he is compromised by, I don't know, the Ukraine? Well, isn't he the one who on video states that if they don't have that prosecutor stop prosecuting my son or the company my son works for, they're not going to get the $1 billion that we were going to give them? That right there was enough to have this guy thrown out of the vice presidency. But it didn't. What we are looking at now is, will the Republicans have a sack? Will the Republicans have the gumption to stand up and deliver? No, they can't override everything the president's going to do because it can't override his vetoes. No, they can't. They do have some control over the power of the purse. So they may be able to restrain some of the massive spending that Joe Biden feels he's going to be able to do going forward. So that is a plus. But the biggest plus is we have seen the corruption. We have seen the complicity. We have seen a compromised president literally taking America to its knees. And they are in a position, or they should be, even with what we're seeing now, to bring this to your attention and my attention, which would be an absolute disaster. disaster come 2024. And once you have a red president, that makes things a whole lot easier in the country, which we're discovering, because with a blue president, it's making things far too tough in this country. Take a look around you, people. We are looking at an election that everybody thought was in the bag. But being in the bag didn't mean what you all think. And being in the bag didn't mean that they were going to have enough votes to override a filibuster in the Senate. And being a red wave didn't mean, because there weren't enough blue senators that were up for re-election to give them a two-thirds majority. It wasn't going to happen, people. They could get a slight majority, but that's all they were going to get. And it's the same thing in the House. There aren't enough Democrats that are up for re-election, or enough seats they can win, let me put it that way, that they can win that would give them a two-thirds majority. It was always going to be, what can we do with a majority? No matter how slim it is, we can bring to light what the people need to see and need to hear. We can make liberty a little bit louder. We can overcome some of the ignorance that has been slammed into the face of we the people. No, there wasn't a red wave. What I'm trying to tell you is, even if they would have gotten all the seats everybody thinks they were going to get, the situation wouldn't be much different than it is right now. It would have been a little better, but not a hell of a lot. They still wouldn't have had a two-thirds majority in either house, the Senate or the House. They wouldn't have. So let's take what we can get and let's use it before they abuse it. With that majority, it's time to bring them to task. Listen to me. We're about done here. I need to make one more really good point to you, okay? All of the points I told you is that weren't happening two years ago and are happening now, and I told you I could give you 30 more. I wasn't exaggerating. I can give you 30 more. All of those things have happened in the last 2 years. The only way, Roger said this, he'll repeat it, that this could possibly have happened is if it was intentionally choreographed. If you are not afraid of the continuing existence of America, then sit back on your butt and do nothing. But with a slight majority in the House, the Republicans now have the ability to bring to daylight all of the corruption, all of the complicity, and all of the compromise that is being stuffed on your face and mine. If you are doing all of this in 2 years to destroy America, who are you doing it for? You tell me today that the Democrat Party has not become part of the globalist elite, and I will kiss your butt on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets. I'm going to take a breath, Steve. Would you like to say anything before we go out?
you're really shy and reserved, Roger.
I know I am.
Yeah.
My God, one of these days I'll actually talk a little. No, I mean talk a little. But then, would you want me to do this show if all I did was talk a little?
Right.
Anything to say?
Nope. It's been a good show.
All right. Everybody listening to this, understand one thing. We do have some control at this point. And that control will be to educate you and me on the reality of Washington, D.C. and what's going on we're not being told about. That's what we will have the power to do. Let's egg them on. Let's support them. Let's tell them you better. Let's make sure they understand they represent us. We are their bosses. Let's get that information and let's use it. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next weekend I would tell you that I won't yell as loud or say as much, but I'd be lying. Bye. Interchanging.